to verse 30. So Job chapter 33 and from verse 12 to verse 30. This is God's word. "But I tell you, in this you are not right, for God is greater than man. Why do you complain to him that he answers none of man's words? For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. Or a man may be chastened on a bed of pain, with constant distress in his bones, so that his very being finds food repulsive, and his soul loathes the choicest meal. His flesh wastes away to nothing, and his bones, once hidden, now stick out. His soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the messengers of death. Yet if there is an angel on his side as a mediator, one out of a thousand, to tell a man what is right for him, to be gracious to him and say, spare him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom for him. Then his flesh is renewed like a child's. It is restored as in the days of his youth. He prays to God and finds favor with him. He sees God's face and shouts for joy. He is restored by God to his righteous state. Then he comes to men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, but I did not get what I deserved. He redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light. God does all these things to a man, twice, even three times, to turn back his soul from the pit, that the light of life may shine on him. Pay attention, Job, and listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, for I want you to be cleared. But if not, then listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom." Amen. And we thank God for his word. So tonight, I hope you've got a feeling from the way in which I read that tonight of this writer here in the middle of the book of Job, this man called Elihu, who has appeared later on. There's three main speakers to Job, but this has appeared later on, this man Elihu, and he is, like the other friends of Job, trying to make sense of Job's circumstances, trying to help him through those circumstances, trying to give reasons for what is happening to Job. And we often face those challenges in life, don't we? When things don't work out the way we want them to work out, we ask questions, why? We raise those questions, we will complain very often to anyone who will listen to us. As we say, why are these bad things happening to me? What is going on? What is God doing in the midst of these troubles? And so here in Job chapter 33, Job's friend Elihu has been listening to Job's complaints. He says in verse 13 there, he says, "Why do you complain to God that he answers none of man's words, that he doesn't hear you? Why do you complain, Job? Why are you moaning? Why are you lifting up your voice against the Lord?" And Job's complaint is basically this, that for all his asking, for all his seeking, the answers aren't coming. He's in a tight spot. He's had suffering inflicted upon him, and he's asking why, and there's no answers. It's as if he keeps ringing God on the phone, and God keeps ignoring his calls. You know that when you turn your phone on and it says, missed call, missed call, missed call, missed call. It's as if Job keeps phoning, and on God's phone it's missed call, missed call, missed call. He just ignores Job's calls and he doesn't ring him back. And so Elihu speaks in verse 12, but he says, "I tell you," he says, "in this you're not right. For God is greater than man. Why do you complain to him that he answers none of man's words? For God does speak. Now one way, and then another, though you may not perceive what he is saying." In other words, Elihu says, "Job, who do you think you are? Why do you complain to God? Because God is speaking. And God doesn't have to explain himself to you, but he does have ways of working that, Job, you haven't thought about. And let me, he says, show you what these are. He says in verse 14, God speaks now one way, now another, though man does not perceive it. And this is the good news this evening, that God actually does speak. And we're going to look at two of the ways in which God speaks this evening. He doesn't always speak with words. He speaks in different ways, but he does speak. And he has ways of communicating with us. And Elihu picks out two to answer the question that was on the screen at the start. Can God use suffering? And yes, he can. So let's look at the first one. And it's in verse 15. This is the way in which God is speaking to Job, says Elihu, a voice in the night. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit and his life from perishing from the sword. A voice in the night. Now, what he's not saying here, although it says in verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, he is not saying that we are to somehow interpret our dreams. Go online or go into a bookshop and you will find lots and lots and lots of books supposedly telling you how to interpret dreams, what they mean. That is not what is being spoken about here. Now, how do I know that? Well, look at the purpose in verse 17 of God's voice in the night, to turn man from wrongdoing and to keep him from pride. The books of this world and the people who write books supposedly interpreting dreams, they do so not to keep you from pride, but to feed your pride. And they don't do so in order to keep you out of the pit. They don't even tell you there is a pit to be kept from. And those books are just conjecture, they're just guesswork, they're fanciful. But what if in the middle of the night, in the middle of a dream, there is the voice of God speaking, some scripture that is brought to your mind? And some of us, I'm sure, would be able to testify to this in our lives. We lay awake one night and we're woken maybe with a verse of scripture going around in our heads. And God was speaking, verse 16, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. God is able to speak to us in the midst of the night as we perhaps lie awake, some voice in the night. And what we're being reminded of here is that God is personal. He's not a force. I mean, if you try to communicate with, let's say, the force of gravity or the force of magnetism, or the force of electricity, or the force of the wind that's due to be hitting us in the next couple of days or so, you can't have a relationship with a force. They're forces. They don't have personalities. But God is personal. Spirit. And by his Spirit, he speaks. He communicates. He has a word for our lives. And sometimes that word comes in the strangest of places where we're lying in our beds at night. Because the reality is that if God the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, to say something to you, to communicate with you, he'll do it. The question is, are we ready to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us in these days? The best, I suppose, Bible example of what I'm saying tonight is little Samuel in the temple, little boy. In his bed at night, the lamp of the Lord had grown very dim and was out. And the voice came, Samuel, Samuel. And he ran to the priest and said, here I am, you've called me. And the priest said, no, I haven't called you. Second time, Samuel, Samuel. And again, when he went to Eli, Eli said, no, I didn't call you. A third time, Samuel, Samuel. And Eli then realized it was the Lord, and he said to him, next time the voice calls you, the fourth time, Sometimes God has to come to us once, but some of us it's twice, some of us it's three times, some of us it's four times before we actually listen. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the message that little boy was given was a message that the sons of Eli were going to be killed. And they were headed for the pit. Message of judgment. That's what I'm saying. The voice in the night of the Lord is very often a voice that's a corrective voice. A redirection of our lives voice. It's a voice that challenges us. It doesn't leave us where we are. It doesn't flatter us. Although it can encourage us. The other way in which Elihu says that God speaks, yes, there's the voice in the night. He says now one way and then another. The other way that he has in mind here is a time of illness. Verse 19. A man may be chastened on a bed of pain, with constant distress in his bones, so that his very being finds food repulsive, and his soul loathes the choicest meal. His flesh wastes away to nothing, and his bones, once hidden, now stick out. His soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the messengers of death. Nowadays, in the modern church, the emphasis is on healing, that God heals. And of course, God can heal. He's all powerful. But here, the scripture is recognizing that as well as bringing healing upon a person, God can also bring a time of ill health upon a person. And a person can even be reduced by God to critical illness. Verse 19 here talks about a bed of pain. A bed of pain suggests to me a prolonged period of suffering, lying on a bed for a prolonged period. Verse 19 talks about constant distress in the bones. They say that bone pain is one of the worst pains of all. Here's someone suffering constant distress in his bones. Verse 20, he has no appetite. He even finds food repulsive. His soul loathes the choicest meals. Verse 21, it's weight loss. His flesh wastes away to nothing, and his bones, once hidden, now stick out. We would say he's been reduced to flesh and bones, skin and bone. And verse 22, his soul draws near to the edge of the pit, and he's about to fall over the edge of the pit with the angel of death hovering. The messengers of death, says the end of verse 22. And as we read that description of someone going through this time of illness, what we need to remember is that God has inflicted this upon this man. Why? Because when we aren't listening, God very often has to speak in more dramatic ways than even a voice in the night. This time it's a season on a sickbed, a time of chastening, of humbling, and of reprimand even, a redirecting of the life of the man in question. I remember an assistant minister in my home church many, 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 many years ago, telling of how when he worked in business, he felt a call to ministry, but he resisted it and said no. He was a relatively young man at that time, but he took suddenly ill. If I remember correctly, it was meningitis, contracted meningitis. And he ended up in hospital, flat on his back, looking at the ceiling. And I remember him saying it was as if he was looking up to God, and he had to say, Lord, okay, I'll do what you're asking me to do. And he went on to have a 20-year ministry. He's retired now, but he had a 20-year gospel ministry. But God had to afflict him in that way with meningitis so that he would look to the Lord and obey the will of the Lord. And we can say on the authority of God's word from this passage that that season was a messenger from God to tell a man, verse 23, what is right for him, to be gracious to him. No wonder the whole COVID epidemic, how much of that is God speaking? Much of that is God speaking to people's lives. You think you're invincible? You think life's all going to carry on hunky-dory? You think you're going to live forever? How many people in our society have been really rattled by the whole COVID thing? I'm not sure how many of them are seeking the Lord, because that is the point. Because look at verse 26, the man who is critically ill, he prays to God and finds favor with him. He sees God's face and shouts for joy. He is restored by God to his righteous state. Then he comes to men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, but I did not get what I deserved. God has treated me with grace. And he redeemed my soul from going down to the pit. I've been saved. And I shall live to enjoy the light. Here's the testimony now of someone who has come through that time of sickness, whose life has been turned around. He's repented. He's got serious with God. And there is this heartfelt desire now to do the will of God. Wouldn't it be great? So many people who have got COVID repented and came to the Lord and received the Lord for salvation. Because that's what God does. He inflicts illness and ill health upon people to bring them to himself. So what we have here tonight is God's word really on guidance and on bringing people to himself, whether it's through a voice in the night, in a dream, or whether it's this time of sickness. But it's a reminder of a God who personally guides us. He guides us as people. He persistently guides us, because he just doesn't speak once, but then twice, says the writer here. Even three times, verse 29 says. He practically guides us through a bed of sickness, say, and he recalls us to the right way of going again. And he does all of this because he is gracious. Because he wants us to come to himself. And God is more interested in your relationship with him being healthy than actually in your body being healthy. You and I are often, we go astray in this, but we need to be recalled to the goodness of God. You know the hymn by William Cowper, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the Lamb that leads me upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." And then he says in verse 2, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? So shall my walk with God be close, calm and serene my frame, so pure light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb." In other words, he had drifted away from God, but he is now yearning to come back. God has been working in his heart. I don't know, William Cowper, you may know his life story. He was a man who had lots of mental, we would say nowadays, mental health problems. But he did know the Lord. And he had this time where he had lost the blessedness, but now God has brought him back again. And the light of God is shining upon him. And he, as it says in verse 28, "He redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light." So in conclusion then this evening, can God use suffering? Yes. Yes. Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." It's good for me. And there's a challenge there tonight. You know, if we know God is calling us to do something and we're not doing it, well, we risk God maybe inflicting a time of ill health upon us, or we risk God making us unsettled at night and we can't sleep. He has to send a word to us. Because God creatively uses suffering. He has ways of working that you and I could never dream about, but he does it for your good and for his glory. And whether it is a sleepless night or whether it's a bed of sickness, we can be reassured in the midst of the life in which we are living today that God is speaking. He's not silent. He's there and he's speaking. And Job discovered this, and Job rejoiced in that, the voice of God into his soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this instruction about how sometimes you speak through visions in the night of your through your word, and also, Lord, through times of sickness, whenever we are resistant or whenever we are in sin and not repenting of our sin. Father, we praise you that you are such a personal God who practically works in our lives, and we're not somehow on our own out there, but we are very much part of a project that you are conducting to make us like Christ, that we would shine like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our lives would reflect him. Father, we thank you for your creative use of suffering, and we thank you, Father, for how we can be confident that even in suffering, all things work together for good to them that love you. And for them, Lord, that don't love you, even how you use suffering to bring them to yourself. And Lord, many can testify of how it was through a time of ill health that they came to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, continue with us tonight, we pray, in our time together, for we ask it in Jesus' name.